This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, good morning, Gina. Good Monday as we continue along SportsMap Radio Network. Glad you could be with us, Tony D and Ron Culver. We take you through another good weekend of the NBA playoffs, especially Luka Doncic, who nails a three-pointer lifting Dallas over the Clippers. It was one of those three-pointers that was kind of ridiculous to watch from a big guy who was, the team was trailing by two, took a nice 27-footer, drained it, and that series is now tied at two apiece. Celtics advance as they beat the Sixers. Toronto advance, they beat the Nets. You got the Utah Jazz one win away as they beat the Nuggets again. Third straight win for the Jazz over Denver. Denver looked pretty good in game one, withstood, I think, a 57-point barrage from Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell had 51 in the Jazz win, and Nuggets look like they want to go home. I mean, I don't know what's going on. A team I really liked going into this, and a team I really liked in the West, maybe, you know, getting maybe to the conference finals. And for whatever reason, it has not worked out for them at all in the bubble. They've looked good at times, they've looked terrible at times. And this postseason, these last three games, I don't know what's going with Mike Malone, but the Nuggets look like they just want to get out of here. The Nets really, really wanted to get out of there because they gave up 150 points in a regulation game. 150. Toronto had 100. Toronto got 100 points from their bench. We'll talk more about the NBA playoffs. Also, a weekend that was the Indianapolis 500. I know many of you aren't really big auto racing fans. I only bring it up because it was one of the bigger events that we've had on the sports calendar that was played without fans. All of these are being played without fans, but the Indianapolis 500 is one of those marquee events on the sports calendar. It's once a year. It's a pretty gigantic, sporting event. And while we've had games and we've had this bubble atmosphere in Orlando and these bubble atmospheres in Toronto and Edmonton, I think the Indianapolis 500 was the first big, huge event on the calendar that when you watched it, you went, oh, yeah, there's really nobody there. I usually bring, six figures to that track, almost over 200,000 people. Well, they didn't have anybody yesterday. We'll get to all of that coming up, including Luka Doncic and what he means now to the NBA, the 21-year-old star, next.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Alrighty, good Monday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call, the SportsMap Radio Network. Tony D, Ron Culver. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll get to the NBA playoffs from yesterday and over the weekend in general. Hey, but I want to tell you about my favorite sports book. That's BetUS. Football, basketball, baseball back. It means it's time to get down your bets. And I only tell you about the best, and BetUS.com is the best because they are the pioneer in online betting, more than 25 years in the biz. And you need a sports book with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. And you need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. So call today 1-800-MY-BET-US. It's 1-800-MY-BET-US. I'll walk you through the process to get started. No one in the industry gives bigger bonuses, and they got a good one for you. Mention SportsMap Radio, you get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit, and nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses. BetUS should be your sportsbook. Join today. 1-800-MY-BET-US or go to BetUS.com. All right, so the NBA playoffs yesterday, the Sixers are out. They have been eliminated by the Celtics, 110-106. So listen, the Sixers were a mess coming into this thing, and the Celtics were really good. I didn't think the Sixers had a chance once Ben Simmons was out, and that's exactly the way it played out. These two teams have met 15 times in their playoff history. Never before had the Celtics ever swept the Sixers until just now. So that is it. This one has a very special... When I was young and I was growing up in New England, as I was starting to get aware of Celtics basketball with Larry Bird, this is actually the series that got me really into playoff basketball. It wasn't the Celtics-Lakers, because Celtics-Lakers didn't occur for me until 1984. But in 1981, the Eastern Conference Finals between Boston and Philadelphia was where I sort of caught, you know, NBA fever. It was a deep rivalry. The Celtics came back from a 3-1 deficit. They went on to play the Rockets in the NBA Finals. And then in 1982 was one of the more classic Eastern Conference Finals, where the Sixers were again up 3-1. Boston rallied, got the game back to the Garden, and then Philadelphia throttled them. And I mean, throttled them at the Garden to go on to the NBA Finals, where they would take on the Lakers. So this is a series that's very, it's lost a lot of its, I mean, a ton of its energy in from the 80s, but it's still, you can still look back at the history of these two teams, and it's a pretty good Eastern Conference rival, and never before had Boston swept them. But I mean, again, we're not talking about a Sixer team that was very competitive without Ben Simmons, and sort of the way Brett Brown managed this team or coached this team really wasn't capable of beating Boston in any type of series, whether it was a 5-game, 3-game, 9-game, name your amount. Philadelphia wasn't going to beat the Celtics in this one. Toronto again routed Brooklyn, a team that Brooklyn was had guys that didn't want to, you know, couldn't go because of injuries, couldn't go because they opted out and were just kind of injured anyway. Rallied, you know, wrapped up the season, got into the postseason, played a Toronto team that they did match up well with, and Toronto eliminated them really quickly and handedly. Now it's going to be Boston and Toronto. The two series that are still going on from yesterday are two of the more intriguing series in terms of some storylines. The Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets, as I was mentioning at the top of the hour, Utah now leads that series 3-1. They took three straight from a Denver team I thought was good going into this. I was excited to see what they were going to do going into this bubble atmosphere. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it was a personal slight or something. I don't know how Donovan Mitchell is stepping up to just absolutely kill this Denver team. I mean, kill this Denver team. He scored 51. Jamal Murray for Denver had 50, but Mitchell had 51. He's been annihilating this Nuggets team in four games, and now Utah's one game away from going to round two. And taking Denver to task, because the Nuggets, I've been at least a fan of what they were doing. I was always wondering how you could pair Nikola Jokic up with somebody else that was going to do something. I mean, we know that in the NBA, you sort of need two or three guys. You know, not super teams necessarily, but two or three guys. And Jokic was one. A lot of scoring around for everybody else, but there wasn't that second guy. I thought it was going to be Michael Porter Jr. It turned out not to be. But Donovan Mitchell has been so fantastic for Utah in this series. And now Denver finds itself on the back end looking, you know, looking at elimination when they play game four coming up on Tuesday. But then there was the Dallas Mavericks and the LA Clippers. And this was the series we said going into the playoffs to watch out for. Dallas is young. They've got this emerging superstar in Luka Doncic. And the Clippers went into the postseason still a little unsure about how they were looking in the 8 regular season games in the bubble. You needed those games to sort of, you know, get out some, you know, iron out some details, get back into sort of the mode that you want to go into the postseason. But the Clippers still went in going, yeah, we're not really quite sure. You even saw it after game one. They were still sort of ironing stuff out, even though they had won that game. But Doncic hitting the three last night, I mean, again, it takes a player like him this kind of environment to elevate yourself to that next level. Because if you're an NBA guy and you follow this, and maybe you have the NBA pass and you watch all the TNT games and whatever's on ESPN, and you just follow the league closely, Luka Doncic's emergence as a superstar is not surprising. You see it. You saw it as soon as he got into the league. You see him the way he plays during the regular season before COVID, and even in some games during this bubble, in the regular season games in this bubble. But what happens in the postseason on a larger stage, when you're drawing a few more eyeballs and attention from people who sort of casually view, that's when you can elevate yourself. And that's what he's doing. This is the third straight triple-double for him. And not only that, this was a great, great three-point shot. He dribbled well, was handling a defender that was all over him. He's about 27 feet out, knocks it down. They need a 2 to tie. He takes the 3 to win. Why not, right? And here's the thing. A game 4 is pretty critical. I mean, it's really critical. I mean, you're either going to be down 1-3 or you're going to be tying the series at 2 if you're Dallas. And if he misses the shot, they find themselves facing elimination. Now he makes the shot, and now it is at best 2 out of 3. That's how big of a deal that was for the strategic element for Doncic to shoot the 3 like he did. I mean, it's for a 21-year-old kid who just is, as Rick Carlisle said, absolutely fearless. Now you're starting to see him take that next level step, which is important because, again, you can live in your own world as an NBA superstar where you are an emerging star, a really young talent, keep your eye on this kid kind of thing. But that only works to a certain segment of your fans. What you're trying to do is broaden it out and get noticed across, and he's heading in that direction. I know the NBA ratings are not as good as they used to be. I know they're down. Everybody wants to buzz about it. But it doesn't take much in social media to have people start going, wow, this kid is amazing. And again, another triple-double for him. So this is where we stand now as we head into today's games, Milwaukee taking on Orlando. You got a good series that could turn the tide a little bit if Oklahoma City stays with small ball against the Rockets like they did Saturday night. That series could tighten up as long as Russell Westbrook is continuing to be out for Houston. So again, a ton of storylines in the NBA playoffs. It has been, kind of, for me at least, it's been really fun. It's been fun to watch it, especially yesterday's Clippers-Mavericks game, which I think is the series of the 8 games. I mean, it is the best series. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with 2 N's. We'll get to some other things that went on over the weekend, including what happened at the Indy 500 in terms of ending the race the way they did. That was kind of a mess. As we continue along, it is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Did you have a good weekend, Mr. Culver?
I did.
Did you? Nice and relaxed. Are you waiting for the hurricane to come blasting through?
Waiting for the hurricane, yep.
You know. In Houston?
Started to prepare yesterday.
Did you? Do you?
No,
board
not
up?
Really. We didn't really prepare anything.
Did you get the generator, some gasoline?
We should probably get one first, huh?
Yeah. Did you?
I put gas in my car.
Did
Does
you
that count?
Buy the delicious food that you just add water to? That's got the 25-year shelf life.
You mean MREs?
Yeah. Do you get a bunch of that?
No. What do we need MREs for?
I don't know. Just I'm trying to think of big emergency type things.
I think. I mean, you know, if.
Well, you need an MRE if the hurricane cuts through the local Piggly Wiggly.
We
don't,
have any access
to food.
We don't have Piggly Wigglies.
All right. Well, the local Food Lion.
Food Lion? What's that?
Whatever food store you have. I think you're getting too specific.
That's the funny
thing. And you're saying,
thing.
Well, I mean, it's not a Piggly Wiggly, so he can't possibly mean supermarket.
These places sound awesome. I want to go. No, the funny thing was the main grocery store chain that's Texas, that's central to Texas, called HEB.
Uh-huh.
They put out a little warning saying, "Hey, no more than 4 cases of water per person," which is smart, because people go out there and just hoard water just as much as the beginning of the pandemic. They were all hoarding toilet paper.
That's right.
And then the other one, which I kind of laughed at, was that no more than 2 briskets per person.
Oh, 2 briskets.
Because nothing says hurricane like smoking a brisket for hours and hours.
How can you smoke a brisket? Wouldn't you be huddled indoors during a hurricane?
You would
be
think,
out with
I
the
guess.
Smoker,
maybe,
right?
Maybe you put it in the garage.
Maybe you smoke it inside. I don't know.
I have no idea why that's such a necessity.
They'll figure it out. The people who do that stuff will probably figure out a way to smoke a brisket during a hurricane.
No, but my wife went to the store yesterday. She said, water is getting kind of scarce. People are starting to grab toilet paper again. And the big thing was paper towel or paper plates.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have any paper plates, and I'm a big fan of paper plates during the pandemic because I feel like my kids just make dishes all day long.
Yeah.
That's their job.
Especially what if the water was shut down or whatever, and you don't want to wash everything, so
yep.
All right, very good. Well, is it a hurricane or is it a tropical storm?
Well, I guess right now they're both tropical storms. It looked like early on Marco was going to miss us, or Marco was going to hit us dead on, and then Laura was going to miss us. And then it was like, what, on Saturday, it looked like, hey, guess what, guys? Both of these storms are going to hit Texas at the same time. And then now, I mean, I was watching the news just a few minutes ago, and they kind of changed again where Marco's going to miss Houston altogether. It's going to hit Louisiana. And then we'll get some remnants of Laura after it crosses paths with Marco. So I don't even think it's going to be that big of a deal.
All right. Very good. All
but
right.
We'll have to wait and see. Everything, it keeps changing every single day.
All right. So we'll wait on the hurricane details coming up this week. I'm actually heading to Florida in about 2 hours.
I know.
And I, you know, want to see.
You're doing the deed.
It was supposed to miss Florida pretty good, or not really hit Florida as well as much as we thought. So we'll be down there.
Now, are you ready for your trip to Florida?
Yeah.
It's not so much your trip to Florida. It's the trip coming back, because I know you're coming back one less person.
Yeah. My son will be at college finally. All of these years waiting for him to move out and go to school. So now he's off to go to school at the University of Florida. I just hope there's football for him to watch. I hope he gets to enjoy Gator football, because that's all anybody seems to care about. This is Gator football.
But there's not going to be any tailgating, right?
No, limited
fans in the stands?
I don't know what they're – I don't even know if they're having fans. I mean, I know they're going to have football on the 26th. That's at least on the schedule. I don't know what the fan situation will look like.
See, I always imagine, can he join like some booster club so he can paint helmets like Rudy?
Well, exactly. This was a weird thing, because when the university said, look, we're doing online classes – but you can stay at the dorm. You can come down and you can move in and you can eat, you know, with your dining plan and stay at the dorm, but you're not going to class, you'll online class. So I said to him, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I still want to go. And sure enough, every kid wanted to go.
It's
like there was like none of them were like, oh, no, I'm not staying at home doing this. No, I've been waiting my whole life to be a college freshman. Get out of this house and be free. I don't care if there's a pandemic and I got to sit in my dorm room. I am leaving. I am out of here. So that was his approach. And it was overwhelming that the students were going to try to do something on campus. So he's going to get to do that. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. It'll be a nice trip down. I mean, it's always a good drive, but it'll be a hard trip back because, yeah, you know, my wife will be really emotional and whatnot. So, but it will, after a while, when he's happy, then we become happy. So it will be good. All right. The Indy 500 was yesterday. It was not raced in front of anybody, which, it was a little odd. I'll tell you why. I'm getting used to golf tournaments. I'm getting used to baseball games. I was getting used to this bubble thing in the NBA, but one of the largest arenas, if you will, are racetracks. I mean, they're gigantic. And NASCAR had this issue too. But the Great American Race, in terms of, you know, whether it's Daytona or Indianapolis, these big, huge events, right? The one time, this is the big race. I had it on television yesterday just to have it in the background. And when they were finally racing, and as they were going around the track, it really was daunting to be like, nobody is there. It's usually like, I don't know, 200, 250,000 people at packed Indianapolis for this race. And there was nobody there. And they're going down. They're coming off the chute and heading into turn four. And then they're going down the straightaway. And there is not a soul in sight. It's like practice day at the track. But here's the thing at the Indy 500. Yesterday's race was won under caution, which is just it's a terrible way to end a race, but it's also a terrible way to end a race that is as famous as the Indy 500. Now, believe me, we've had many races in both NASCAR and IndyCar and whatnot end under caution. The race is designated for a certain mileage. You race that certain mileage, and if you're running that mileage at the end and you hit it with your – when you're going, you know, a third of the speed or whatever it is with the pace car in front of you. That's just the way it is. NASCAR has tried to alleviate this problem a bit, trying to extend the race into what they call overtime, which is to, if there's an accident, they try to get people go around, and then, you know, they get a, try to get a green, white checkered finish. So at least the fans have some sort of excitement to their ticket. You know, they buy a ticket, they watch, and they want to see racing at the end. They want to see guys race it to the checkered flag. Now, in the Indy 500 yesterday, there was a crash with about five laps to go. And so now the field is going around the racetrack, and it was a bad wreck. It was a really bad wreck. So many of the drivers had radioed into their crew wanting to know, would there be a red flag, meaning we would stop the race, they would clean it up, and then we'd go around again maybe once or twice with the pace car, and then we would go back to green, and then we could race to the finish. Scott Dixon, who finished second in the race, was one of those drivers. And the answer was no. The answer was, nope, this is not how we're going to do it. We don't do that. We're not going to start today, so that's not what we're doing. We're going to wrap, you know, you guys are going to go around this racetrack, and when we hit the 500 mile mark, we finish 200 laps of this thing. We finished 200 laps of this thing, and that's how the Indy 500 ended, with Tomoka Sato winning the race and doing so while he was riding behind a pace car going very, very slow. And that was it. So it was kind of, I mean, it was kind of too bad, because you invest a lot of time. If you're a race fan and you invest a lot of the time into this, you put up with the wrecks and the caution flags and the strategy and some of the other strategic elements of the race, then at the end it's, yep, sorry, we're not even going to have a run to the finish line. We're just going to have this crash, and boom, we're just going to finish under caution. I can't think of a comparable situation in sports. But that's just the way it is. Imagine if football games ended like that, where it was like, no, we can't play the final 2 minutes. We're just going to roll, you know, we're just going to go through the motions, and then whatever the score is right now is what the score is at the end of the game. That's basically what the Indy 500 was. What's the score with five laps remaining? This. Well, that's how it's going to end. That's it. There's no opportunity to make one last push. There's no opportunity to overtake one more time, get into the draft, see if you can slingshot your way around the leader. Nope, that's it. That's all she wrote. And listen, one of the team owners was Bobby Rahal had said, look, we've done this. This is not the last time it will happen. It's happened before. It'll happen again. That's just the way it goes. That's racing. And that's the way it is. Yeah, that's right, I guess. But I mean, even diehard race fans would wonder, is this really what we want to do? Like, when NASCAR's tried to change it, can we change it too? Can we do a little bit? Now, listen, if I paid good money for the ticket and nobody was there, so not this season, but I would be disappointed if I left and that was what I got out of it after all day sitting in the sun watching this thing. I mean, in Indianapolis is not the best place to watch a race anyway, because there's a lot of blockage, so you get like one corner and it's pretty much all you can see. If I was sitting there all day and that's how it ended, five laps at slow speed, wrapping this thing up, I'd probably be angry. You know, and I think sports entities that can find a way to change, see things that aren't working, see things that this is not etched in stone. I mean, you don't have to live by these rules. One of the things that I've always liked about NASCAR, for example, is that they're willing to change. If they see something that the fans are getting bored with, they'll be like, oh, let's change it up. You don't like the way we're doing the playoffs, or would like the way we're doing the point system, or you don't like the way we're, you know, setting up the championship. We'll change it. We'll figure out something that's more exciting. We'll do these things in stages, or we'll do these things in a 10-race postseason, or we'll do whatever it takes to sort of build excitement and energy. We'll change it up. Wouldn't mind seeing the Indy cars go through the same route, because you're kind of disappointing yesterday. I only watch a few races a year now. Indy 500 is one of them, and it was kind of a stinker. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, as we continue along this morning. We'll talk more about Luka Doncic. It is Kobe Bryant Day, 8/24. It was his birthday yesterday. We'll sort of reflect on the loss of Kobe Bryant from earlier this year. Remember when we thought that was going to be the big 2020 yep. story? That was going to be
that
it?
Was the big story.
Remember? Well, we'll talk about that coming up next as we continue. Again, your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. Not all offer the same comfort and protection. Boomer Naturals three-layer comfortable and highly breathable masks come in all sizes for adults, teens, and children. They're in stock now, ready to ship to you fast. These things are great. I had to when I first started getting masks from people in my town that were making them, and my wife was picking them up. They were all right, but they weren't really breathable. And then I got Boomer Naturals, and my God, they're soft and important for me. Breathability is amazing. They're fantastic. And also, they're highly protective. The nano silver technology is woven into the fabric and can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to the nose and mouth. And that's what you're looking for in a mask. Boomer also offers the popular nano silver neck gaiters. Order now at boomernaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony. Save 20%. That's promo code Tony at boomernaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at boomernaturals.com. So yesterday was Kobe Bryant's birthday. Today is 8/24. So it's kind of Kobe Bryant Day. And we go back to that sort of January day. Remember, it was a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you heard. I'll tell you exactly how I heard. I was up in my, kind of watching television. It wasn't a live television. It was like something I was watching a recording of. And my wife was downstairs and she yelled upstairs that Kobe Bryant had died. And at first I was kind of freaking out because I was like, maybe she misheard that. I was like, what do you mean? And then I went right to the news, and that's when we heard about the helicopter crash. But that was going to be the 2020 story of the year. I mean, that was a story that went beyond just the sports world. That was one of those celebrity deaths that you'd go, man, 2020 is going to be remembered for this. Even it was January and we still had a lot of months to go, it was big enough that you would go,
huge.
We'll put that at the end of the year. When we do the year recap, that's going to be one of the biggest stories, at least what we cover in sports.
I remember being Sunday morning and then I was, just lazily waking up. It was one of those lazy mornings and I was just on Facebook, I was just scrolling through, just see what the latest was. And I saw all these posts and I was like, what is this? And I didn't believe it at first. I thought it was a hoax. And turn on the news, and no one's really covering it at that time. So I mean, I must have found, like, I don't know how people in LA found out. It seemed like,
yeah, right,
like an hour before the rest of the nation. That's how it felt like, but really it was like 10 minutes. But I mean, I was seeing all these posts, and that's kind of how I found out. And then it was just stuck to the news, like, all right, maybe it's a helicopter, maybe it's Kobe's helicopter, but what, Kobe wasn't on it, type of thing. And that's what you're kind of watching for.
That's exactly right. That was kind of what I was going through, was, okay, was he on the helicopter? Is his helicopter? Was he on it? And then when the word started coming out that it happened. And again, once you got that news, it was one of those things where you thought to yourself, under normal circumstances, right? Because we live in a sports world where really cool things can happen that could be the story of the year. We could see big Cinderella moments, or we can see somebody put on a performance of a lifetime, like Tiger Woods in 2019 winning the Masters. That was my sports story of that year, right? When we did our kind of year in review. You could see really great things, but you can also see things that were shocking and, and whatnot. But it always is in the sports context. Kobe Bryant dying in a helicopter crash. I could not think of anything in the sports world at that time that would trump it.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
I couldn't think of anything. I mean, it would take a 16 seed winning the NCAA tournament to top the story. Because we've already seen the 16 beat a 1. I've already seen Tiger come back and win a major. So anything that I could think of that would be a big sports story, I had already gotten the biggest sports story of the year. And then March happened. And then the sports world shut down. And that's what I think 2020 is going to be more known for in the sports world, is how it was shut down, what we did when it was shut down, and how it came back. But Kobe Bryant's death is still a major story for 2020, even though we didn't anticipate that there would be a bigger story along the horizon in the sports world when everything went to hiatus.
And quite honestly, this is the biggest sports story of the century.
Oh, without a question.
I mean, we could say that to this point. It's 2020. in the last 20 years, maybe even the last 50 years, 100 years, I don't think we've ever seen a sports story quite like sports getting shut down.
That's the thing. Like, I'm serious. Wait until, again, wait until the books start coming out and this is put into some perspective in this, from the sports world. You know, wait till the baseball writer does the whole, I'm going to tell you all about the 2020 baseball season in the pandemic or the basketball bubble or whatever. All of it put into the historical context, it will make us, years and years and years from now, we'll all remember how it operated, what it was like, the night it got shut down, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, it's not even the fact that it was the biggest sports story. I mean, we can make the argument that sports was the catalyst for us going into lockdown.
Yeah, you could.
We were all not saying we were non-believers, but we didn't really want to go to that extreme just yet. But then when that fateful night when Rudy Gobert tested positive, and then basketball postponed some games, then they canceled their season, NCAA tournament canceled, and you started seeing the dominoes just start to fall. That was really when we said as a country, you know what? We got to start wearing masks. We got to lock down. We can't go to work anymore. That was the Archduke Franz Ferdinand who started World War I moment of this, quarantine. This pandemic for us.
You're right. I mean, again, think about all the sports entities in March that just followed suit of what the NBA was doing, right? I mean, they might have had their own information, but they just were seeing the avalanche and just got caught up in it as one sports business shut down right after another. I mean, it was all following, the NBA's lead. The NBA said, okay, we're done. We're pausing for a second.
Yep. Pausing for a week.
And everybody else was like, you know what? We're going to do that too. We'll do that too. And then it was during the NCAA conference tournaments. The Ivy League was out early, but then everybody else was sort of going, well, we'll see. Maybe, I don't know. Players were on the court. There was like one game that was going on. I think it was in the Big East. Then they finally said, ah, that's enough. We're not doing that. I know the SEC held out for a little bit here in Nashville, said, we're done. And then there was a little bit of a waiting game. Do we do the NCAA tournament or not? There was a big conversation. Okay, maybe no fans. But nobody could guarantee anything quickly. No one could say this is going to work because there was not enough time to think out a protocol. So then everything shut down. And you're right. Maybe that was sort of the step that then next thing you know, everything was shutting down. All sorts of businesses. Everything else was business. And then all of a sudden we went forward and we went into lockdown. But again, going back to Kobe Bryant, you just could not imagine what sports could have on its plate that would trump the death of a mega superstar, even in retirement, right? Even in retirement.
Yeah.
A global icon superstar at 41 years old, turned 42 yesterday.
There was nothing that we could fathom. There was nothing imaginable
for us
to go like, oh, you know, Kobe Bryant dying in a helicopter accident. There's going to be a bigger sports story on the horizon. Because, you know, in our wildest dreams, we never would have thought anything beyond that.
Right.
I mean, that was a huge ordeal. That was, you know, that was Princess Diana dying in a car wreck. She was, you know, not really a princess anymore. She was separated from Charles. Charles had already moved on. But her dying in that car accident was a huge story that year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it pretty much stopped the world for a little bit. That was Kobe Bryant for us. Kobe Bryant was our Princess Diana.
Yep, without question. So yesterday was his birthday, and today, 8/24, is kind of Kobe Day.
Yep. I got my Kobe shirt on.
You got the Kobe shirt on?
I got my Kobe shirt. Yeah. I'm all in for Kobe Day.
Yeah, and not only that, but in honor of the Kobe, I go back to the something I've been repeating along the lines. I think what's going on right now at Disney World in Orlando, I think, has been great for the NBA. I think they've found a way to do this and make these games work. It's entertaining. Yeah, they're quirky. I was watching the game. My in-laws are in town, and I was watching a game, and I said, yeah, the digital fan thing is, you know, it's a little weird. It's, you know, and the atmosphere there with nobody in attendance is a little weird, but they're getting the games in. The games are getting in. We're not seeing the megastars get COVID and have to shut this thing down, or a team hasn't been completely out of this, you know, like where you wake up one day and the Oklahoma City Thunder can't play anymore, right? Or the Houston Rockets can't play anymore. So we got to figure out the postseason after that. We're not getting that right now. I don't know where we're heading. We've still got all the way through to mid-October before this thing is finally wrapped up. But it's delivering moments. Yeah, there are some early exits in the first round, but you would have gotten them anyway. You know what? If we were under regular conditions, I don't think the Sixers would have had any real chance of beating the Celtics if Ben Simmons was out without, you know, while we were going back and forth from Boston to Philadelphia. And I don't think Brooklyn was ready for the playoffs either. But you got a very good series in Dallas and the Clippers. You got a very good series that could be with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. If Oklahoma City figuring out that small ball for them would work well against the Houston team that's playing that way, that could be interesting. I mean, there's some good first-round matchups, but it's going to get better in round two. I mean, in the Toronto-Boston series, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, I really hope it's fantastic, but I think it's going to be great. And the Celtics are playing really well. Toronto is playing very, very well. Nick Nurse just got Coach of the Year, which is well-deserved, by the way. Way to go, Nick Nurse. Kawhi Leonard's out, and you still put a Toronto Raptors team together that's really, really good. A threatening team. Excellent work. Billy Donovan even got some votes for Oklahoma City. But Nick Nurse won Coach of the Year yesterday. But it's been working. And I think, you know, I think this is a good way for sports to have come back when you're trying to get sports back in some capacity. We always said this would be a busy time. Everything was going normal, this was a busy time. Think about what you got yesterday, right? There was PGA golf. There was the Indy 500. There was NBA playoff basketball. There was NHL playoff hockey, right? It was Major League Baseball. I mean, you got NASCAR events. There were two NASCAR events over the weekend, both at Dover. It's a busy time right now. We had to put up with months and months and months of nothing, but we are now reaching. When's the Kentucky Derby? In a couple of weeks, right? It's like Labor Day weekend?
Sure. You know, some of these other events, sporting, I don't even know when. I think there's a little poor
advertising. Well, it's hard, yeah. It's hard
poor
that it's on the schedule. Yeah, really so. They should be driving that home, right?
I mean, I had no idea the Indy 500 was taking place this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
And it wasn't until, like, you know, day of. Hey, look, Indy 500's okay.
If it wasn't,
there was no lead up last week.
If it wasn't for the story that I saw about Marco Andretti winning the poll
right
a week ago, I wouldn't have known it was going down. You're right. The advertising has not been very good. Look, if I'm the Kentucky NBC that's got the Kentucky Derby, I mean, even the Masters, people know when the Masters is normally. It's
right.
Like the second week of April or whatever. But it's in November. But do you know what date it's starting? Does anybody know what date it's starting?
I don't even think. Do they know?
Do people even know it's in November?
I think people know it's in November.
Does the average sports guy know it's in November?
I think people know that the Masters is in November more so than people knew that the Indy 500 was going to be in August or that the Kentucky Derby is it in September, I think, or is it later in August?
I thought it was Labor Day.
Was it Labor Day?
I think it's Labor Day weekend.
No
see,
idea.
I don't know.
It's almost like they're all trying to NBC or, you know, Indy 500 crew or Kentucky Derby. They're just like, well, let's just have this race to have a race so we don't miss a year.
One thing is really cool, though, is NBC yesterday during the Indy 500 kept promoting Chiefs Texans 2.5 weeks from now.
Yeah, we all know when that starts.
That was the good one. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I'm Michael on Twitter. When we were talking about Kobe Bryant, how we kind of heard the news back in January, at the time thinking it was going to be the biggest sports story of the year. It is 8/24, Kobe Day, and it was his birthday yesterday. Michael on Twitter, my wife watches Brazilian news. She told me it was the lead story in Brazil when it happened. No doubt. That's pretty wild. Justin on Twitter, check out Tennis 2, talking about sports coming back. Cincy Tennis leading into the U.S. Open. Yeah, when's the U.S. Open tennis tournament? That's coming up soon, right?
That's usually in August, right?
That's usually late August.
The only thing I remember seeing, the only blurb I've seen about tennis is that Serena Williams does plan on playing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Was it, which one, Rafael Nadal's not playing?
I think
is that true?
Yeah, I think he's not
Justin,
making the
trip.
Justin,
let me know. Yeah. Josh agrees with you. The first commercial I saw for the Kentucky Derby was last night. I had no idea the Indy 500 was playing until I hit guide and it was on. The Masters, no idea they were going to play in November, so I agree they need to step up their advertising. Yes, they do. This is the thing. When you have these traditional dates in sports, it's okay. You might remind people, hey, the Indy 500, a Memorial weekend tradition, right? It's always Memorial Day weekend. Right? Yeah, but it's not. So now when is it? Tell me, when are we racing this? Are we racing this? When are we racing this? Same with the Kentucky Derby. It's the first Saturday in May. Not this year. So when is it? Tell me. The Masters, early April, around Easter. When is it? Since they're not playing it then, when is it? It's up to them to sort of tell the public. The public can't be searching constantly for these dates. Find it. These television networks have got to start telling people, hey, yeah, we're going to have it for you, and it's going to be on this date. Do you like the Kentucky Derby? It's this date. Do you like the Masters? It's this date. You like the Indy 500? We're running it this weekend. You may have forgotten, right? The NFL, yeah, it's starting exactly on time. It's going to be September 10th, that Thursday. So you can advertise that, but those of us who love football, we know when it was going to be. But if you like these other events, these other big once-a-year events, you got to let us know when they're on the calendar.
Yeah, let us know.
Because, yeah, I bet you Josh is one of a few thousand people, thousands of people.
Tens of thousands, man.
I didn't want to say million.
I don't think that many people tuned in.
Flipping through going, wow, look at that. The Indy 500's on this weekend. I had no idea. Man, it's wake-up call.